a tolerance and acceptance. He'll get into this even more. But regarding differences and, you know, the way they eat or the way they think they're supposed to eat, really the principle carries over, you know, in a broader sense, and differences that people have and, you know, how they believe and different things when it doesn't really alter our salvation. But he gets into it because he's addressing the wrong kind of attitude that one would have. You know, if, it's kind of difficult today, but, you know, if one's a vegan, a vegetarian, and I'm not a vegetarian. Is there any vegetarians here in the room? Good. You know, we can rail on them then. You know, I believe if Jesus ate it, it's okay to eat. And he's declared, you know, he made meat to eat. And, you know, for us to come against a vegetarian, you know, it isn't the right perspective. It's not the right attitude, you know. And he gets into it and covers it pretty thoroughly here. In verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? Who do you think you are? And, you know, coming against or putting his finger on the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective. In verse 4, he goes on to say, to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you? You know, who do you think you are? A type of confrontation, coming against the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective in judging another's servant. Notice how Paul says, you know, you're not the master. We are all the servants. And the master is able to make his servant stand. He's able to receive his servant. It's between his master and himself. We're just a fellow servant. God's perspective in at the end of verse 3 is that God has received him. Whether he's differing in his viewpoints or his perspectives or not. And the end of verse 4 is God is able to make him stand. It's not our position to judge our brother. In verse 5, he goes on in the regarding of days. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the day, to the Lord. You know, he emphasizes, let him be fully persuaded or convinced in your own mind. You know, you're to be dictated by your own conscience. But esteeming one day over another, you know, is another kind of a... Not many people do that today. Actually, right now, sunset is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement for the Jews. Now, they esteem that day highly. They fast all day. They reflect over their sins. You know, as they approach Yom Kippur is the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. But for us to observe that, you know, Yom Kippur is not really biblical. But if someone wants to, a Messianic Jew, you know, if he wants to, you know, observe the day. We're not to judge or come against him for observing the day. You know, we you know, take the stand. We don't observe one day above another. But, hey, what about Easter? You know, we make a big deal about Easter or the Lord's Day on Sunday. That's his day. That's the day of worship. But some esteem one day over another, and another esteems all days alike. You know, but you're to be fully convinced in your own mind, and you're let him do as his conscience demands. In verse 6, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives, God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. verse 8, for if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. He's our master, and we're accountable to him. But he talks about, you know, he's approaching the differences, having a wrong perspective or a wrong attitude, with a correction. How to correct if you got a wrong attitude, you know, in over another's viewpoint, judging them. He brings the correction necessary. For it's to the Lord or unto the Lord that we or another that shares a different perspective is to approach the day, approach the meal. Six times he mentions that in these three verses, you know, unto the Lord or to the Lord, giving the correction. The Bible tells us, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's doing it unto him, the right attitude, the right perspective. In verse 9, he gives the reason why. For to this end, Christ died and rose again, and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. To this end, for this purpose, for this reason. The reason Jesus died and rose again is that he would be Lord over me, and Lord over you, and Lord over another. And we're to be his servants. And Paul bringing the right perspective, correcting the wrong perspective. Look, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Much of the same body of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. The reason he died. Paul says the love of Christ constrains me. And since he died, you know, when he died for all. And the end or the purpose of his death is that we are now his servants, fellow servants. He's the master. He died that he would be the master and the Lord over us. We would come under his lordship. In verse 10, back in chapter 14, dealing with improper attitude, he states, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to judge. Improper position. It's Christ's position alone. He's the judge. And one day, the Bible tells us that we'll all have our day, that we stand before him as judge. We come before the judgment seat of Christ. So why act in his role or position over another? Why do you judge another? One day, we'll have that opportunity, you know, to be before the judge. It's Christ's position to judge. In verse 11, my position is to bow. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That's the proper perspective. Not to look down on my brother, but to look up to the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Paul bringing things in perspective of our proper position. Christ is judge. I'm to serve. In verse 12, again, we'll have our day. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God, our responsibility. is over our own soul. And we will give an account to him on that day, not an account for another. We have to regulate or monitor another's behavior, or judge their behavior. Our responsibility is for our own soul on that day. In verse 13, he goes on, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this." He says, therefore, you know, resolve this. Get it together, is what he's saying. Therefore, get it together and fix this problem within yourself. If you got a problem judging another, if you got an attitude towards others and their beliefs, you know, realize who you are before him. We're to bow and to resolve this, he says. You know, to fix this problem. He, from this point, really, to the end of the chapter, he talks about a new set of principles or rules, as it were. The kingdom of God. Look at verse 17. He says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, or what we drink or what we eat, or not what we eat or what we drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He, you know, raising their focus, hey, my right perspective is to bow before him, to see myself for who I am, whose I am, belonging to him, his servant, looking up to him. There's a new kingdom that he employed at his resurrection. And the kingdom has some rules. Jesus taught about the, you know, the kingdom principles on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. But in verse 13, he mentions different rules. Don't cause your brother to stumble. Now, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. And don't put a stumbling block or cause to fall in your brother's way. Don't create, don't trip up your brother or cause your brother to stumble. Verse 15, don't grieve your brother or don't destroy your brother or another. I know in verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Don't make such a big issue about what you eat. You know, there's two extremes. You know, you think about eating and dietary laws. You know, there's a few that hold to biblical dietary laws. The Seventh-day Adventists do to this day. They keep the Sabbath or try to, they claim. And they hold to the dietary laws in the Bible, and they claim they're for today. You know, the other extreme, certain people, hey, I keep the Sabbath. And they have in their mind that it's, you know, to observe one day over another. And they keep or try to keep, like the Bible tells in the law, according to the law and under the law, on Saturday, Sabbat, to keep the Sabbath. I heard Jim Dobson say that. Hey, it's one thing that we do. I know it's not biblical, but hey, I try to keep the Sabbath. And, you know, that's okay. If he's fully persuaded and convinced in his own mind to keep one day above another, or if certain people that want to eat pork, and we know some, you know, and hey, it's biblical. But it's in the Old Testament, and it's no longer for today. You know, there's two extremes, you know. I can eat whatever I want. I exercised my freedom yesterday. I went to Country Buffet. Got a buffet to go. It's a new thing they got. You get a styrofoam container, and whatever you can pack in there and make it look like it's closed is $4.99 with a coupon. It's an outstanding deal. But, you know, hey, you can eat too much. You can go the other extreme. People use, you know, diets or Atkins or carbs or, you know, sugar, and they'll lay a trip on you or, you know, judge others. You're not healthy enough. You know, you hear them talking, you know, the way people eat. And, you know, we're not to judge one another. And Paul, you know, says you can grieve. You can hurt your brother, you know, and we're not to hurt their feelings. We're to be more sensitive, you know, and what in this regard. In verse 20, he says, don't destroy your brother for the sake of food. It's ridiculous. In verse 14, kingdom rules, kingdom truth. The scriptural perspective in verse 14, Paul says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. I know what the Bible tells me. I'm not under a legalistic bondage or trip or problem. Paul says, all things are lawful to me now. When the Old Testament ended at the death of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is employed. There's no law in the New Testament. So Jesus, the Bible tells us that he told Peter, kill and eat that which I pronounce clean. You can have pork. You can eat. And Paul says, I know I can eat. Food and eating no longer the constraint of the law over us is no longer immoral. You eat pork, it's not, or shrimp, fish without scales. It's not wrong. It's not immoral. Eating is non-moral. Jesus said, it's not what you put into the stomach that defiles a man. It's what comes out of your heart. It's inner, problem. But not what we eat or drink. The kingdom of God is not in food or drink, but in righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. There's other scriptures that deal with this. I'd like to look at maybe a couple of them here. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Trying to grant freedom. Really, he begins this passage with, for you that are weak. And the ones that's weak in their faith, we're to have tolerance towards. But those that are strong in their faith, we know what we can eat and what we don't have to eat. And, we got freedom in Christ. We understand that. But there are those that are still stuck legalistically. And Paul, through the scripture, trying to free them scripturally. In verse 16, chapter 2, Paul writes the Colossians, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. It all points to Christ. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That began at sundown today for the Jewish religion and what they hold as dear, speaks of Jesus Christ. It's about the high priest going back into the Holy of Holies. It speaks, it points, it's all about Jesus. For me to hold to that day and regard that day in a Jewish context, it's a step down. It's a shadow of the truth about Jesus Christ and what he does in heaven on our behalf as our great high priest. Turn to 1 Timothy. Interesting. Paul, writing to Timothy, talks about this thing, but in a different context. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says that in the Spirit, in the latter times, the Spirit expressly says, this is in the end days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Eat up. As one mark of a false prophet in the end time generated by a demonic force. Hey, can't eat that. Can't do this. To bring in a legalistic kind of bondage. But the truth, Paul says, I know. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus. We're free to eat. He's not pronounced anything unclean anymore. Everything we can eat. We have freedom. And there's a freedom of understanding that's grounded in the Word. As we understand what the Scripture tells us, for those who know the truth, he told Timothy. We understand that we have such freedom in Jesus Christ. All things are lawful to me, Paul says, but all things are not expedient. All things don't bring about his purpose and cause. And really, that's what he's going to land on here in this passage. We have the freedom. You know, Christ set us free. All things are lawful. Yet, in verse 15, he employs another kingdom principle. You know, rules, truth, freedom, to walk in love. In verse 15, he says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. The kingdom, most important kingdom principle and rule, is to walk in love. That's what Paul said in Corinthians, where we turned over there. He says, you know, hey, Christ died. When Christ died, he died for all, and we're all servants now. And he said, I'm constrained by his love. You know, to be walking and serving him, constrained by his love. I looked up that word, constrained, today. It's an interesting word. Luke uses it oftentimes when the people were... In the phrase, he says, be taken with, about people that were sick, and they were to be taken with. They were constrained with a sickness, and they were brought to Jesus. They were overwhelmed by a sickness, or the palsy, you know, and they brought him to Jesus. And Luke was a physician and a very, accurate in his Greek grammar. Those that were under the influence of a sickness, they brought to Jesus. Paul says, I'm constrained by his love, under the influence of his love, to walk in love, under the power of, under the influence, held by, kept by, other uses of the same word in the scripture. You know, I looked at this and, you know, to walk in love, I got to be governed by that principle of the kingdom. I have to be infected by love, as it were. You know, today we, you can go get a flu shot. You can go get a flu shot at, drugstores. I mean, right now, you can go get one. And we need to be infected with, you know, God's love in order to walk in love, in order to keep his principles, in order to keep our focus and perspective right. He said, in order to walk in love, you won't grieve your brother, you won't hurt your brother, you won't destroy your brother. He who does isn't walking in love. We need to be under the power of love. Therefore, he says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. You know, get it together. There's another one of them exhortations. You know, work this out. Walk in love. And then in 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. New set of principles and rules. I never liked that one title, you know, there's no rules when God rules. There are rules. They're just higher. They're pure. They're better. They're kingdom principles. You know, we're not to hurt our brother. He grants us the freedom. You know, we're free to do anything we want. He frees us from our own flesh, is what true freedom. Jesus said, you know, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And only Jesus can set us free from ourselves. And being free within ourselves to walk in freedom, we're to exercise our freedom with love. And being sensitive to other people around us. Not to violate, not to hurt, you know, not to cause them to stumble, but to walk according to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 18, he says, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men, serving Christ in the kingdom. According to the kingdom principles, rules, truth, freedom, love. Verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. The pursuit of these kingdom things. Things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another, to build another up. It's a construction, you know, building each other up in the holy faith. The Bible says that we're all stones, you know, in the temple, building each other up in a new holy temple. We're to edify one another. It's a construction process. We're all under construction. We're to serve. We're to build up. In verse 20, not to be offensive. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Not to rub it in. You know, flaunt our freedom. We're so free that, you know, if another can't handle it, that's their problem. That's not the biblical way. You know, we're to be sensitive towards our brother. You know, if they got an issue or a problem. I remember preaching a sermon on this back in, you know, years ago, and I was using John Dobbins as an example. John Dobbins is a diabetic. You know, he's got to watch his sugar intake. So when we're at the dessert bar and John's close by, we need to be careful. Oh man, this is so good. You know, to rub in our freedom. We're sensitive to him. You know, he can't even take a bite. Or he's not supposed to take a bite. But to be sensitive, not to be offensive in how we flaunt our freedom. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. We're to live and balance this truth, you know, of freedom and truth and love. We know we can do all things that are lawful to us. But what is, you know, we're here to serve him. We're not here to please, I'm not here to please myself. I'm here to please him. That'll alter what I want to do oftentimes. Have faith, you know, live in the kingdom. Don't doubt. In verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Doubtful, you know, having doubt. Back when, right now, the city of Roseville has some water issues. I don't know if you read that in the paper, but there's high copper levels and, you know, it's not real healthy. And it's causing some people to have stomach issues. You know, hey, who has stomach issues? It's in the water. It's possible. But back when we had that brownout, you know, I remember them saying, hey, we don't know for sure if the water's bad. But if it's doubtful, it's dirty. You got to boil it because I don't know. So the doubt, you know, we're to have faith and to live with balance in this truth. And Lord, help us. You know, I'm reading this, I'm thinking, man, I need to be infected by his love to the point of, you know, Paul says, I'm constrained by the love of Christ. Serving Christ because, you know, the one definition of that word is to be impelled. It means to be motivated. It means to be moved under the power of, literally, under the power of love for Christ. And Christ's love for me or you. We need to be infected, you know, by his love. And I think we can pray for that tonight. Let's stand. To walk in the kingdom of heaven, pursuing peace. The kingdom of heaven is not food and drink, but righteousness, doing right. Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul says he did that. He walked in love because he was constrained by Christ's love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you grant us. You said that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And Lord, for all the freedom that you've enlightened us with, given us, and showed us, freed us of our flesh, bondage, habits, sin, problems. Lord, we look to you. We ask, Lord, that we would grow. We wouldn't be weak in the faith, but we would be mature and strong, and that we would grow. That we would see, Lord, what you're telling us. See our brother in truth. Lord, we ask that you fill us with your spirit and your love. Lord, that your way would rule, and our position, my knee shall bow, my tongue confess who you are, your Lord, Lord, and I'm just your servant. You're the master over all of us. You're the Lord. You've called us to come under your lordship, to understand that, hey, it's you who rules. And it's us who serves and submits and bows. Lord, we look to you. And you change our hearts, our understanding, correct wrong perspectives, wrong ideas, attitudes in our heart. We thank you, Lord, that we could stand with Paul and say, I know the truth. Yet, for my brother's sake, Lord, I walk in love. Lord, we look to you to work these things out. We lack the power and the strength, the ability in our own heart, in our own life. But we ask, Lord, that you would give us power to walk in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.